Morning, St. Luke's. Here are the announcements for today. Our teens are going to be joining the teens from St. Martin's for a youth group meeting over Zoom tomorrow at 1:15. The information for that gathering is in the posting and in the bulletin, so if you're interested in that, please look that up. The other thing I had is there was an email scam that went around this week, and we've seen this one crop up in the congregation before. This week it looked like it was from Dean asking for gift cards. And nobody from the church office will ever contact you and ask you to buy gift cards for any kind of emergency or any kind of charitable source. So if you get something like that, you can just go ahead and delete it. It's just spam. Best thing to do is just, you know, send an email to the church office and let Stacy know. She can let you know whether or not it's legitimate, and it's good for us to know if something like that is going around so that we can tell everybody. Welcome back to the Reverends Mary Morrison and Joe Weber. Thank you to Mary and Joe for being with us again this morning. And that's it for the announcements. Everybody have a wonderful Sunday.
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through the things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us, that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis, Genesis 29, 15 through 28. Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I might go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "Well, this is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave his daughter Rachel as a wife. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing praises to him, and speak of all his marvelous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek for the Lord and his strength, continually seek his face. Remember the marvels that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, O children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments prevail in all the world. He has been mindful of his covenant, the promise he has made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, which he established as a statute for Jacob, an everlasting covenant for Israel, saying, "To you will I give the land of Canaan, to be your allotted inheritance." Hallelujah.
Romans 8:26 through 39. A reading from the book of Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding 1 pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of our Savior. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Have you taken up bread baking during our long stay at home? Do you have your pot of sourdough starter souring away on your kitchen counter or in the refrigerator? It's been so long since I dealt with starter that I can't remember where one stores it. I could bake bread. I do remember how to do it. I did it quite often in my younger days, especially when I had two sons with hollow legs that could easily devour a warm loaf of freshly baked bread almost in the blink of an eye. These days, two old ladies take a bit longer to work through a loaf of bread, all those carbs, so I'm passing on the sourdough bread baking. This morning's gospel lesson presents us with a small collection of mini parables. In some ways, they call to mind the sower with the seed scattering it about. We don't know if Jesus told them all at the same time, or if the writer of Matthew's gospels collected them and just stuck them in here. However they got here, they provide once more an opportunity for us to reflect on the reign of God and our call to participate in it. Both the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast in the flour remind us not to be deceived by modest beginnings. The reign of God may begin as something small, vulnerable, and unimpressive, but just wait. Both seed and leaven are incredibly small and seemingly insignificant, but will have extraordinary effects. Their work calls for patience on our part and maybe even some care. Remember that yeast will die in too hot water and not be able to do its work in a too cold room. There are other aspects of mustard seeds and yeast that we need to consider. Mustard was considered a trash tree, really a trash bush. One commentator refers to it as the kudzu of its time. And yeast was thought to be an agent of corruption and was sometimes used as an example of the insidious nature of evil at work in a group. Say, Jesus, those are remarkable examples of the reign of God. Once more, Jesus has our attention. He keeps it when he goes on to tell of the worker plowing in a field who discovers a treasure. The worker sells all that he has to purchase the field so that the treasure, which by law should belong to the guy who owns the field originally, can be his. Jesus is not conducting a class on property law here, but making a point about focus and desire. Such focus and desire is also seen in the story of the pearl merchant. In this case, the discovery is not an unexpected event, but the result of persistent searching. Like the worker, the merchant liquidates all his assets to acquire the object of his desire. In both cases, the object found becomes the concern that crowds out all others. Neither man seems to even consider the possibility of passing up the chance the treasure or pearl offers him. The discovery crowds out any thought of prudence or caution. We are reminded that living in God's reign entails discoveries like these, things which reshape priorities and result in single-minded devotion. Pastor Talitha Arnold reminds us that, as Christians, we are called to believe in the incarnation, the mystery of that meeting of the divine and human in the person of Jesus Christ. In his parables, Jesus puts that incarnational focus not on himself, but on the world around him. The kingdom of God is like the most common things in human life. Like Jesus himself, this everyday world embodies the sacred meeting of divine and human, if only we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. The stories Jesus told were not fantasy stories. Rather, they told of real-life men and women going about their everyday work. They reminded his listeners and us that God's realm is as close as the next mustard bush or loaf of bread. The parables envision God in every nook and cranny of daily life, from kneading dough to plowing fields, from family pictures proudly displayed to packets of decades-old love letters tucked away in a dresser drawer, from the halls of Congress to the halls of a small rural hospital. Like yeast in flour, much of the time the reign of God is hidden. Most of us see only glimpses of it, bits and snippets, rather than a complete detailed picture. Frustrating as that may be, it serves to remind us of the hiddenness of God's reign in our midst. It suggests that the life of faith begins with something as small as a bit of yeast or a grain of mustard seed. Remembering that nurturing this faith, frail as it may be, does not necessarily entail doing grand and heroic things. Rather, even incredibly small and insignificant things, a gesture made, a gift offered, a compliment given, a kindness shared, can have extraordinary effects or consequences. Such small signs of a loving and generous heart are really big things. The woman mixed her yeast into 3 measures of flour. Amy Jill Levine reminds us that that's about 60 pounds, probably enough for 100 loaves of bread. Maybe she was helping to cater the wedding at Cana. Have you seen those mini libraries that people build in their front yards that offer free books to their neighbors? No one is going to mistake one of those for the Library of Congress or even our own local library. Yet seeing one of them never fails to give me joy. They say, "Welcome, take a book to read, explore our world, enter a new world, imagine worlds never known." Those mini libraries are signs of generous hearts and active love. So this week, keep your eyes and ears and heart open. Try to see some little, almost hidden sign of the reign of God in our midst. Share whatever pearls you have, however small, to make life a little better for a friend or stranger. Finally, be patient with yourself and others. God isn't finished with us yet.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, hear our prayers. Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth that we may treat her gently. God of love,
hear our prayer.
God, let us pray for our family, our friends, and our neighbors. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are sad or scared or suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Finish.
Prayer for mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.